Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are going to be discussing this text 9. Those that were not with us yesterday evening, we spent time discussing text 9. And this morning is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explaining the symptoms of Uttam Bhakti, symptoms of Uttama Bhakti, and references made to this verse, 10, 9, 8. So, here we go. The verse, the Uttam Bhakti verse, is the definition of bhakti found in nectar devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam. You know the verse? Jnanakarmadyanavritam. Anukoyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. It's the entire nectar devotion is resting on that one verse. It's a definition of bhakti. And the commentary says there are parts of that verse that are marginal or tatastha lakshana, and there are parts of that verse that are sorup lakshana or principal, primary. So that's where it begins. And the focus is going to explain the word anukulyena. 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 So anukul means to accept. Anukulyena is this particular grammatical term in the process of accepting. Anukulyena. So here's there's two translations of the same commentary, so you hear it twice. And I guess you can appreciate how different commentators are going to take the same text and translate it a little bit differently, but the essence is the same. So you're going to hear it twice. If you miss something first time, you get a chance to understand it again the second time. And, so the heading is Anukulyena, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur begins explaining that word. The principal characteristic or swarup lakshana of bhakti has been defined as the cultivation of activities in relationship with Sri Krishna. Those of you that are familiar with nectar devotion, you know in the introduction section, Prabhupada uses this very word, bhakti is a sort of cultivation, right? Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. That's this Krishnanushilanam. Cultivation of activities in relationship to Sri Krishna, Krishnanushilanam. So now comes adjectives that describe that, bhakti. In order to further qualify this definition, the word anukulyena will be explained. Adjective. In order to establish the sorup or inherent nature of bhakti, the qualifying adjective anukulyena, or favorably disposed, has been used. Because bhakti is not accomplished by unfavorable behavior. Very logical. You know, like Kamsa was Krishna conscious, but he wasn't favorable. So it wasn't bhakti. So anukulyena. Certain liberal-minded philosophers have defined the meaning of the word anukulyena as behavior or engagement which is pleasing. It's a liberal definition. In other words, they say that bhakti, or the cultivation of activities in relationship to Sri Krishna, should be pleasing to him. So he's going to reject that idea or modify that idea. Such engagement, which is pleasing to Sri Krishna, is termed anukulya vishishta bhakti. Vishishta means attributes. The teaching of Ramanujacharya is known as vishishta advaita. Vishishta means attributes. So with advaita is non-dual. Within Krishna, within Narayana, there are vishishtas. It's sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest, but there's a non-dual relationship between all vishishtas and the source of them. That's Ramanuja's teaching. So, engagement which is pleasing to Sri Krishna is termed by these liberal philosophers as anukulya vishishta bhakti, or devotion which is favorable to the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Then comes the problem, and Vishwanath addresses the problem this way. By accepting this kind of meaning, there's faults in a definition where a rule is overextended. There's a Sanskrit term, ati vyapti. You're going to hear this term several times, so if you like to take notes, you can take a note. Ati vyapti, it's technical, not commonly spoken about in our literatures, but it's a nice term to learn. An overextension of a rule, and he's going to explain what why that is so. And then there's another fault in a definition or shortcoming, and that's vyapti. There's ati vyapti and avyapti, which is underextension of a rule. So, or that definition may become present in the symptoms of bhakti. So here's the explanation. Ati, the first of the two, ati vyapti means when a definition is too wide, it encompasses things which are not to be included within the description. And then the opposite, avyapti, means a definition which is too narrow. So narrow it excludes things which should be included within the description. And he's going to give examples. For example, when the asuras Chanara, Mushtaka, and others struck the limbs of Sri Krishna in the wrestling match, it gave him great happiness. He began to taste Vira Rasa. Vira Rasa. Strength, Vira, or heroism. With great enthusiasm in the company of Chanara, Mushtaka, and others. In this example, the asura's activity of striking the Lord appears to be pleasing to Krishna. So they're Krishna bhaktas. No. The definition is too broad. If it's pleasing to Krishna, that's too broad of a definition. A doubt arises here as to how the activity of the asuras can be pleasing to Krishna. In response to this doubt, a portion of the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.30. What's that one? That's deliverance of Dhritarashtra by Vidura. Chapter 13. Canto 1, chapter 13. So there's a portion of that verse that says, manasvinam iva shan samprahara. Translation, Although in the vision of ordinary persons, a fierce battle with an enemy is the cause of great distress, for heroes, it is very pleasing. We're going to hear it again in the second translation. It's a little more detailed. So, Krishna derives pleasure because it's a, he's a hero. If the activities of the asuras of violently striking the Lord in the wrestling match, due to its being pleasing to Krishna, is accepted as bhakti, then the fault of ati vyapti, or overextension, enters into the definition of bhakti. In other words, the activity of the asuras of maliciously striking the Lord is completely opposed to bhakti, but because it is pleasing to Krishna, that previous definition appears to include what they did as bhakti, because it was pleasing to Krishna. Here's another example, and this is our 10.9.6. The logic goes the other way. Another example is when Yashoda Maya seated Sri Krishna in her lap and began to breastfeed him. At that time, the milk on the stove boiled over and was falling into the fire. Yashoda Maya left Krishna unsatisfied. Uh-oh. She's not a bhakta, because Krishna was unsatisfied, and went to rescue the milk. This was not pleasing to Krishna. His tiny lips began to tremble with anger. 10.9.6. In this example, because the activity of Mother Yashoda was displeasing to Krishna, it would seem to be excluded from the definition of bhakti. Therefore, there is a fault, or a vyapti, underextension, which appears to be present in this definition of bhakti. That's the adjective anukulya. Paragraph. The faults, ati vyapti and avyapti, respectively, seem to be in the cited examples of the activities of the asuras and those of Yashoda Maya. So he's going to suggest a different definition for anukulyasya. The word anukulya has been used here with the intention of prohibiting these kinds of faults. Therefore, the real meaning of anukulya is to be completely free of any attitude that is unfavorable or hostile to the Lord. That the attitude, not just is Krishna pleased or not. We'll hear it again, so just so it sinks in. Paragraph. Without the complete absence of any attitude that is unfavorable to the Lord, bhakti is not established. According to this principle, the fault of ati vyapti cannot be applied to the asuras. In other words, the definition of bhakti does not extend to them, because they're always possessed with malicious attitude toward the Lord. Consequently, because they are not devoid of a hostile attitude, their activities are not counted as bhakti. So again, here, the meaning of anukulya is to be devoid of any unfavorable attitude to the Lord. So that's that ati vyapti. Now comes the other one. On the other hand, the activity of Yashoda Maya from the external point of view appeared to be unfavorable because it was seen to be displeasing to Krishna. But Yashoda Maya had no trace of any attitude of displeasing Krishna. She is always permeated with an attitude that is completely agreeable to Krishna, being constantly attentive to rearing him and looking after his welfare. Therefore, this symptom has no contact with the fault of vyapti. In other words, the definition of bhakti does not exclude Mother Yashoda in this example. paragraph. There are three paragraphs, and we hear it again, a different translation, same section. The devotees naturally display even greater love towards those things which are favorable toward the service of Krishna than toward Krishna directly. Krishna was to be nourished with the milk that was boiling on the stove. It was only with this idea of Krishna's future benefit that Yashoda Maya left him aside to tend to the milk. Therefore, this action is also bhakti. Someone may raise the contention that if a favorable attitude, anukulya, or in other words, the absence of inimical attitude, pratikulya, is defined as bhakti, and if bhakti involves some kind of activity that is favorable or pleasing to Krishna, then what need is there to further qualify bhakti by use of the word anushilana? Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilana. Anushilana. So what is the need for this in the definition? It should be concise. Anushilana, he has put as attentive study or practice. Why has this word been used if it is without meaning? It is with the purpose of responding to just such a doubt that the word anushilana has been employed. And here's why. The true nature of bhakti is not established by the mere absence of an inimical attitude, for even within a clay pot, there's an absence of animosity. Can the pot then be said to possess bhakti? It never can. It is true that there is no animosity in the pot. However, because there's no activity of the kind implied by the word anushilana, the existence of bhakti cannot be admitted. Therefore, the use of the word anushilana is not without meaning. You know, scholars in language, anukulyena Krishnanu Shilana, Krishnanu Shilana, Krishnanu and Krishna Anushilana. So here's the next, same section. The definition of anukulya as pleasing for Krishna is both too extensive and too limiting. For instance, the action, anushilanam, of a demon attacking Krishna is the rasa of fighting, yudha vira rasa, derived from utsaha rati. Utsaha, we know, is enthusiasm. So Krishna was like, yay, let's have a combat. From Krishna's perspective, it is pleasing for him, since he takes pleasure in fighting with them. Yudha vira rasa is expressed in the following verse. This is this Canto 1, Chapter 13 verse, text 30. It reads, the gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala of Kandahar, or Gandahar, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalaya Mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. So those who are renounced, they like austerities. Those who are vira, those who are heroes or kshatriyas, they like a good lashing. You know, they like it. No, most of us don't like it. But, you know, they like it. They want They want to, like we hear again and again, this demon, that demon, they wanted somebody equal to, and they couldn't find anybody, so they were frustrated. So they were sent to this one, that one, to get a, you know, an equal combatant. They like. And, you know, devotees, when it's Ekadasi or time for fasting, it's like, great. Right? Because brahmanas, the wealth of the brahmana is austerity. You've heard that. The wealth of the brahmana is austerity. So they like. It's not, they like wealth, but they, a different kind of wealth. Not the... Anyway. So, yudhavira rasa, that's expressed in that verse. 1:13:30. Again, an illustration of the definition of being too limited, if anukulya means pleasing to Krishna, is given. Here it is. When Yashoda left Krishna and went to take the milk off the fire, Krishna was not pleased. Thus, Yashoda would be excluded from the definition of bhakti. The following example is given. Quote, being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. He then entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. In order to prevent the definition from being too extensive, that's the first case, or too limiting, the second case, the definition of anukulya should be explained as, here we go again, devoid of hostility on the part of the performer. That's the attitude. This will exclude the demons because they have hostility in the form of hatred for Krishna. This definition will also not exclude Yashoda because she is devoid of hostility to Krishna. Quote, therefore, let bhakti be defined in terms of anukulya, a friendly attitude directed to Krishna. The word anushilanam, which is modified by anukulya, is thus a necessary, someone may argue, because bhakti can be defined merely as favorable attitude to Krishna. This objection is rejected, since even a pot is devoid of hostility toward Krishna and is therefore pleasing to him, but cannot be described as having bhakti. Therefore, the word anushilanam is also necessary. Okay, that was text 9. There's text 8. Here's text 9. We just read the translation. This is 10.9.9. When Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee, as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, or desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. Purport. This is Srila Prabhupada. Yogis, mystics, want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances, they try to approach him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yashoda, and Krishna is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between the bhakta and the yogi. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for the pure devotees like Mother Yashoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna, was even afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. This was mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Bhaya bhavamaya stitasya. 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Gyan Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet, although Mother Yashoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. So we're just going to read one of the commentaries and we'll continue tomorrow. Yashoda held a stick in her hand to instill fear in Krishna. He is described as Bita Mataha, as if having fear. Because knowing the great affection of his mother, internally had no fear. Or it can mean that he stood up and fled in a fearful manner. For Kunti has said, Bita Bhavanaya Stito, he was in a state of fear. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Oh, Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears. This is Queen Kunti's 1.8. This is not 10.8, it's 1.8. So it's Kunti's prayers. Again, oh Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope, there was the stick and then there was the rope, to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. You were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Of course, she didn't see it, it's just a vision of that pastime. Yashoda, or the word that's used in the verse is Gopi, Yashoda chased her son, although those whose minds are absorbed in samadhi, yogi nam manaha, though capable, kshamam, of merging into Brahman, praveshtam, inspired by penances and austerities to attain gyan, irutam tapasa, such yogis cannot attain. Na apa. This is made clear by verse 21, which isn't happening yet, but verse 21 and 22 get a lot of attention because they're summary verses of this whole lila. So here's the phrase, Mayam Sukhapti Sukhapi Bhagavan. Mayam Sukhapi Bhagavan. You'll hear that again and again. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is not easily attainable. So he's not easily to be understood. He's not easily attainable. And Mother Jasoda more than attains him. She binds him. You know, I'm thinking about this question. Why so much attention on this and why not in the birth pastime? Well, this is the distinction, or a distinction, between Vasudeva and Devaki. They had that privilege of being the parents of Krishna. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda had the privilege of being with him constantly. Which Krishna says, after he releases them from the prison of Kamsa, that We were so afraid of Kamsa. You've not been able to take part in our boyhood, youth, and childhood pastimes. We have deprived you of that happiness. As the converse is, Yashoda and Nanda are absorbed in that happiness. And so the pastimes of Krishna in Braja are more celebrated even than his birth, because of the sweetness. There's majesty in his birth, and there's sweetness in his pastimes in Braja. And amongst the sweetnesses, this exchange where Krishna's afraid of the stick and Krishna's afraid of the rope, and he's feeling fear. Even if it's whether one wants to look at it as it's simply a leela or he's feeling fear, either way, he's feeling fear as a transcendental loving exchange with Mother Yashoda. And it's a big mystery. And he gets on the other side of it by her affection. He allows her, that which he was afraid of, he allows her. He's controlled by her love. And that's more of a mystery than Krishna's appearing. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. You know, to understand tatvataha, in truth, all about Krishna's Braja Leela, then on top of that, you know, the Leela outside of Braja, but the Braja Leela, it's just a big mystery. And how can one understand it if Krishna discloses it? Or those who are attached to Krishna disclose it. We can know secrets of mysteries by disclosure. And that's even greater. It's even a greater mystery than Krishna's appearance in this world. Step back and just think about it. You know, religions of the world, largely they're prophets that tell about God. Now, in modern Christianity, they've done a shell game, where the Son of God is God. Christ is God. You know, posters or billboards, Christ is God. So he, you know, he, God can appear in this world, so Christ is God. But he's the Son of God. He's the representative of God. That's fine. And God himself, the Father, his appearance in this world, the transcendent divyam, transcendental nature of his appearance in this world, and his pastimes. It's a very profound science. And, you know, science does have its mystery. So we're hearing a celebrated mystery being revealed through commentary in Shukadev Goswami's words. See if there's some discussion. She's the one using it before. It's not a different person. She can just go ahead. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Nice.
You're on.
Yeah.
Yes, it's on.
If the bot is alive, Because you said that in Vrindavan or Raja, everything is alive.
Everything is alive. Everything is conscious and therefore alive.
Yeah. So then if the pot is alive, then why can't he cultivate bhakti? Because I heard that.
Why can't he what?
Why can't he cultivate bhakti? Because he...
Who's he?
The pot.
The clay pot?
Yeah.
Clay pot.
Because it's alive.
It's alive. But it's shantaras. He doesn't do active. Anu shila. That word shila. You with me? Shila means activity. It just sits there. So you're asking, why doesn't Pat just get up and walk around? Because that's not what pots do. There is inactive bhakti. There's bhakti, but it's inactive bhakti. So anushilana indicates activity, or senses engaged. So another, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, senses engaged in sense objects for service to Krishna. Just sitting there. It's passive bhakti, one can say that. But it's not... There's no inimical attitude. There's no non-inimical attitude. It's just a pot. So it requires activity. Bhakti includes that by definition. Okay?
I have another question. Can we, I tried to think of...
You probably weren't even aware until I came around that you're... every sentence has two or three ums in it. Hopefully you'll get the message and become more aware of your speech going into the future. That's the reason I'm doing this. Okay, go ahead. Second question.
I try to think of Christ like Srila Prabhupada, because he is like the,
he's the Acharya.
A saintly, the preaching person for the Christianity. And Prabhupada was also the preaching person.
Prabhupada had great affection for Christ for that very reason.
So can we, assume Prabhupada like Christ and him at the same level?
He revered him again and again, consistently. The many things, not only what he did, but he took all risks, as Prabhupada took risks. Any person that's taking the message of Krishna into the dark world, there's risks, and he took risks.
Both of them took risks, right? Huh? Both of them took risks, right?
What risk did he take?
Both of them took risks.
Yes, and Prabhupada was appreciating, not only him, but he was appreciating his disciples that took risks. He would hear reports of the devotees that were going into behind the Iron Curtain during those days. They were risking their lives. Prabhupada understood it. He wasn't, uninformed. He understood the risk they were taking. And he was he was so grateful. He was moved, as he was moved by what Christ did. He was taking God's word, according to the audience, giving God's word. And look what happened. He was seen as a threat, and yes. Those who take the message according to the audience, time, place, circumstance, and delivers that message. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, such a person is, there's no one more dear to me than that person. Now, the person needs to be discriminating how time, place, circumstance to deliver the message. Okay?
Yeah, but also, it's a follow-up question.
Okay.
So, the people who, you know, think Christ is God, are they making offenses to Krishna or anything?
Well, they're covered. There are lots of people that have misconceptions because they don't have disciplic succession. Huh. And they go off in that direction or they go over in that direction. So we'll go back to what our topic was in the morning. Was there an attitude of displeasing? You know, you can take it to the extreme. And, you know, the jihadists in Islam religion, it's giving Islam a bad name. There are people who are not like that, who are Islamists. They're, you know, they're spurned by many, many, many people. Wrongly. They're not bad people. There's the extremists are the bad people. They're nuts. So, it's displeasing, but they're thinking pleasing. So they're not connected with the real message of compassion that comes from their preceptor. It's a long story. You know, Christian people are aggressive, some. Aggressive. And, you know, judgmental and dismissive and you're going to hell. Why? You don't accept Christ, that's why. And you get to accept Christ means he's God and you just say it. He's God. Okay, you're going to the good place.
Yeah, one time in Harinam, somebody told me that I was going to go to hell because I wasn't, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we can say, I think I'm a better Christian than you. Because I'm following his teachings and you're not. What do you mean I'm not? I am. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, go ahead. Next. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question was, when the cowherd boys wrestled with each other while they were tending to the cows, is that a simmered down version of Yuddha Vira Rasa?
Yes. Yes. That was pleasurable. They weren't interested in hurting. They were interested in giving pleasure. They weren't, you know, competitive in the material sense, I won, you lost. They were enjoying. No, little boys sometimes enjoy hurting another little boy or being the victor. But that wasn't their... They would speak like that, but it was untainted. Yeah, Yudhavira, exactly.
Thank
Krishna
you,
enjoyed it.
Thank yeah. you, Mark.
Okay.
Guru Maharaj, following...
No, it's on. It's on.
Following on up on some of the questions. So in Christianity, so who's the son and who's the father?
Oh, come on, you know.
So is the Christ like, you know...
He's the son. And he was sent by God. God the Father hath sent me. There's the Father and there's the Son. Krishna is the Father and Christ is the Son. Or any other name of God. Allah is the Father and Christ is the Son. Or Muhammad is another son. It's not just like God only has one son. So many sons. And then so one who is pure is a pure son. That's Acharya or Shaktivesha Acharya, Shaktivesha Avatar. Empowered person sent. We have the same teaching.
Yeah, so son and acharya, basically, it's like I was...
Yes, exactly.
Same thing.
We don't... Just hang on, Radha. We don't have a different teaching. We just understand it properly.
Yes, Maharaj.
No one... one of their, you know... The big phrases from the Bible is, no one comes unto the Father except through me. We have the same teaching. You can't go to God directly, you go through his representative. Same teaching. But they got, you know, they've got a franchise. It's only this one. It's not principle, it's only this one. You don't go this one, then you're going to hell. It depends on the the circumstance. Generally, I don't get into it, but my reasonable response to such a person that says that, that's not the God that I know. He's unlimitedly compassionate. Three questions: is God limited or unlimited? He's unlimited. Is his compassion limited or unlimited? Unlimited. So all those people that were on earth before Christ appeared, they all went to hell. And then all those people since Christ appeared that just say these words, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, they go to heaven and everybody else goes to hell. That's not the God I know. He's loving. So, you can have your conviction, that's okay. But I believe you've misunderstood the statement, no one comes unto the Father except through me. I think you've misunderstood. Here's the proper understanding. It's in all religious traditions. It's certainly in the Vedic tradition. It's, 434 Bhagavad Gita or the disciplic succession principle, chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita. That's the principle. And here's an example of the principle. That's the right understanding. Now, you don't accept that. That's okay. But God is loving. He's not condemning. The entire population of human beings that existed before Christ was born went to hell. Sorry, that's not God. But you're entitled to your beliefs. I find them very irrational. Not a loving God.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of differences in how different branches of Christianity
are.
There's so many.
Of course. Of course.
In how they accept Christ.
Yeah. And what the Trinity is and the whole shebang. You know, there's like a zillion different ideas. Okay, your daughter's enthusiastic to do the next question. You have more question? Do you have more?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, please go ahead.
So regarding the pot being in Shantaras, is that how what their eternal position is or they have opportunity to...
According to what Prabhupada, Tamal Krishnaraj asked Prabhupada the following question. Can one move from one rasa to the other? And Prabhupada said, why not? Spiritual world is dynamic, not static. But, then comes, well, how might that happen? And what's the technology? And, but it's a principle. It can happen, according to what Prabhupada said. Then, largely anything happens because of association. Even those... I've mentioned this several times, but from chapter 35, the sound of Krishna's flute, even those Shanta entities became ecstatic hearing Krishna's flute. they exhibited symptoms of ecstasy just at the sound of Krishna's flute. So,
another question. So, is there any description of previous births of Mother Yashoda? Like, was she mother?
She's eternally Mother Yashoda. That's that's the message we should be very clear about.
Okay. Like for
at the end of chapter 8, there's a confusing, potentially confusing description of Drona and Dara.
Mm-hmm.
But the unconfusing part of that, which is confusing, is they are expansions of Nanda and Yashoda. Partial expansions. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, please expand yourself. So they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it became time for Krishna's appearance, they entered into the body of Nanda and Yashoda. And when Krishna's pastimes were over, they returned to the heavenly realm. The partial expansions.
I have one more question, but I'll pass the mic around.
No, there's no, go ahead. There's no previous lifetime. She's eternally Mother Yashoda.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Maharaj, thank you. Now, regarding the pastime of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna and Krishna is afraid. Now, if I have to view this from a Western lens or a context, it feels like child abuse or trauma.
Sure.
So how are we to, like, even describe such a pastime, say, to a neighbor?
Depends which neighbor.
Our
fellow over there, I don't know if you'd want to even try. Try just, you know, taking samosas. But if it's a reasonable person, you don't necessarily start there. You start with something else. But if it gets to that, here's a Krishna book, and they start, and they say, what's going on here? This looks like child abuse. Then, you know, there's several layers of explanation. The restraining of a child may be part of discipline of a child because they may harm themselves or need some potentially detrimental adult, you know, behavior in adult life to be curtailed. And at that time, that restraining was done this way. It wasn't abuse. It was restraining the child to learn a lesson. But that's not something we would do today. I don't do that with my children. When they need a lesson, I don't tie them up somewhere. But, you know, the culture at that time was like that. And it was with affection. And here's a deeper point. You know, Krishna, as a loving supreme father, wanted that experience of being chastised or reprimanded or scolded, or, you know, he wanted. And so Mother Yashoda did what he wanted. No, we don't understand those things because we don't understand anybody wanting to be chastised.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a loving exchange. So when you understand loving exchange, then it's a loving exchange. And what did Krishna do after that? He pulled over two trees. who can tie up someone who can pull over two trees? It's a pastime. So it's, you know, look at it with a different lens. Oh, you people, you know, dismiss, blah blah blah. So, but you know, if someone really wants to know, you can offer them an explanation depending upon the person. Discipline has its place in parenting. And what it looks like may be different in different cultures. In our culture, my family, I wouldn't do that. But discipline is sometimes needed. If I don't, I'm neglectful as a parent. Now that you know the dependent may be uncomfortable with being disciplined, but you know, as a parent, it's I have to, you know, appropriately understanding the sensitivities of the child and so forth, so not creating a trauma situation for them, but in a loving way. Here's what our acharya taught about discipline. Don't, and then, okay, and show love. And once that relationship of love is established, then. And they use the example. You can show a stick, but never use it. Meaning, discipline has to be done in such a way that it's received, it's given and received in a loving way. And the dynamic is not always like that when we're conditioned souls from the giving and the receiving side. But that's the principle to live by. And that was the principle that was being executed here. Krishna liked. Krishna accepted. It's coming from a place of love. He wanted that. He received it. So it was appropriate. There are many other situations where she didn't do like that. She just embraced him. And he knew that the love is there. So when there was discipline, hey, different people are going to respond in different ways based upon, you know, their current sensibilities. Next.
That's another for me. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So they're asking that for some from the India, who I'm translating for the some
okay,
of India.
Your group over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have a question for somebody's fault of, you know, the current corona situation. Because of somebody's fault, the whole world is undergoing this lockdown and this pandemic pain. How fair is it and how do we see
how
that? How fair is it and how do we...
It's totally
interpret
unfair.
It. So how do we interpret it?
When you're put in jail and there's some inconvenience, it's unfair. Totally unfair. Prisons and jails should be nice. You can restrain a criminal without making it unfair. And everyone should have equal treatment in the prison. The hardened criminal and the one-time offender, everyone should be treated equally. That's fair. It's not fair. This other is not, this whole coronavirus thing is unfair. It, you know, we're in jail. We're offenders, and here we are, and some not, and we're all going to pass. Maybe, you know, dying is unfair. It's unfair. God is all good, so why should you die?
Okay,
you get the idea. We're implicated because of our. Indulgence in an attitude that's unfavorable to Krishna. We're Krishna's competitors, and so we get, you know, a bonk in the head, or maybe something worse. So that's that root problem needs to be addressed, not the fairness, unfairness. Okay, last question over here. Five or six? Okay, we're going to do the five or six.
And I also had three, but I will skip. So first question is from Amol Prabhu. If a neophyte has positive attitude but performs activities imperfectly due to lack of expertise, are those activities displeasing to Krishna?
No. Next.
Can the neophyte be said to have bhakti yet?
Yes. Okay. Neophyte bhakti.
Next question is from Amara Mataji. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, we hear that Guru and Krishna's mercy is always there. We have to open our hearts to that mercy. My understanding is Mother Yashoda, being a pure devotee, was already at a superlative position of pure bhakti and had full access to Krishna's mercy. When I hear that, when Krishna saw her efforts, he bestowed his mercy by agreeing to be bound. It feels like mercy was held. How may I understand this?
With intelligence. Krishna wanted to have Mother Yashoda increased and increased and increased and increase her affection for him. And so that's what he did. And so he made some obstacles. You can't bind me. Because he also had a desire. He wanted to go steal butter. He didn't want to be bound to a grinding mortar. He wanted to go steal more butter. She was interfering. So she couldn't bind him. And it was also part of a bigger Leela of showing his affection for Mother Yashoda, responsive to her affection. So obstacle can be there for a person like Mother Yashoda, what to speak of us.
Next question is from Jordan, Prabhu. Dearest Maharaj, during this month of Kartik, it seems as if the heart melts a little.
Melts a little, okay.
And the window opens a little, and it is so conducive for spiritual life. Then after, it becomes hard again. Should I simply be grateful to experience that? Or is there a way to keep it going? I try, but it seems material responsibilities grow. This is from Yamuna Mataji.
This is a classic question. It's expressed in different ways at different times, but it's a classic question. And how does, unsteady become steady? And the answer is by purification or by anarjana vritti, the unsteady becomes steady. So there are favorable periods of time and circumstance. That's what this Kartik month is for you. So it's favorable. And there's a rise in bhakti. And then there's after the favorable, whatever that favorable may be for somebody or somebody else or somebody else, like say a big festival or a big seminar or something, and then that auspiciousness subsides and so does one's enthusiasm, etc. But how to sustain it is a commitment to do so and purification. You stay the course, in short. By one who strives by right means is assured of success, Krishna says. Next.
Last question from Amara Mataji. Also a follow-up on changing rasa.
Changing rasa.
In what circumstances a devotee might want change?
I don't want to go there. I'm sorry. What circumstances? It's inexplicable. Don't go there. Just, each of us has an eternal relationship with Krishna. Go there. Go there. And if Krishna wants, Krishna may send some association and somebody that's in some position may want to, for the satisfaction of Krishna, be in a relationship with Krishna different. It's in Krishna's hand. So don't even obsess about this, or don't get curious about it. If it happens, it happens. Don't worry about it. Worry about what your relationship with Krishna is. Stay focused there. Okay. Sorry for being abrupt. You have some topics.
You want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one is that why we discuss this Anukulina in the context of the ninth verse, I did not catch that. Because it was about Krishna running out of fear of Mother Yashoda's stick. What was the context in which we...
The context was... is Mother just so... When, by doing what she did that was displeasing to Krishna, causing him fear,
mm-hmm.
is that not bhakti?
Okay. Good.
If bhakti is pleasing to Krishna, she wasn't pleasing Krishna, so she's not a bhakta. That was the context. Okay.
Second question is, it is mentioned that it's as if out of fear, and also previously there is false tears. I mean, on one hand, we say that Krishna is reciprocating with Mother Yashoda's...
We discussed this yesterday, and I don't mind discussing it again. There's different ways of evaluating Krishna's lila. And one is, he's performing a pastime for the pleasure of his devotee. But it's not like he's an actor on the stage
mm-hmm.
where, okay, my part is to be such and such.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play the part of such and such, although that's not me, I'm just playing the part.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the part requires as I play the part. So I run for Mother Yashoda because it's part of, nourish her parental affection. There's the obstacle. She can't catch me. So I run, and then I allow myself to be caught. So it's just play acting.
Mm-hmm.
A drama that's not, it's not. That's one way, but it's not satisfying mm-hmm. because he's actually feeling something. So it's as if, or human-like. Oh, you know, all these verses we discussed the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Human-like.
Mm-hmm.
As if, and then there at the same time, it's genuine. He's feeling something, experiencing something. It's not an imaginary form and an imaginary emotion. It's him. He's feeling those things. And then in the next moment, he's not feeling those things. And that's his yogamaya potency, and that's how we can understand it.
Okay.
Maya means what is not.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, if there's this, what is not? Well, he's the supreme enjoyer, mm-hmm. and he's enjoying.
Okay.
And he's enjoying not just by play acting. He's enjoying different varieties of emotion, and then that stimulates varieties of emotion and love in his devotees, and that's the exchange. Ashraya Vishaya exchange. The abode of love and the object of love exchanging. That's love. It's a loving exchange. So one can look at it this way, one can look at it that way, and they're both right.
Okay. This one is probably a little more detailed. So we talked about the ativyapti and avyapti. One is overextension, is underextension. So what I understood is that there are two players here. One is the devotee, another is Krishna. So there is something from Krishna's side, and there is something from the devotee's side. So from Krishna's side, yes, he wants this virya rasa and just the fighting somebody is giving, that is pleasure giving to him. And in the case of Mother Yashoda, her neglecting Krishna to take care of the milk, that was from Krishna's side potentially displeasing. And then from the devotee's side, there is the idea of attitude. That there is, yes. In one case there is unfavorable, in the other case there is favorable. But then we also understand that Krishna is absolute, and even in the case of Putana's situation, Krishna accepted that tiny little motherly spirit that she had when she was offering the milk, and Krishna extended that and took it as service. A devotional act in one sense, and then gave her the position of being a mother. So I'm just thinking that from Krishna's side, he can, so to speak, bridge that gap in attitude. I mean, in the case of Putna particularly, there was no favorable attitude.
No, that was minuscule.
Okay.
That's discussed in the Agasura killing also. Prabhupada's very explicit. He says it in two purports. What was favorable? Yeah, he doesn't say what was favorable, but he says one cannot achieve the abode of the Lord without bhakti. So what's the bhakti in what Agasura did? Mm-hmm. What's that little glimmer, trace, sliver, thread, you know, hardly anything? Because everything else was, you know, death personified. He's described like that. Mm-hmm. And the only answer that was suggested, and I don't know what the reference is, but it was somewhat indirect. Rather than killing, swallowing the coward boys and calves, he waited for Krishna to come. And Krishna was wanting, you know, like unintentional, agata sukriti, unintentional service. He wanted Krishna to come in his mouth and then close his mouth. So Krishna was missing the coward boys. The coward boys were missing Krishna. He facilitated that. In that moment of hesitation where Krishna became bewildered. That's the speck, indirect speck. And Krishna accepted that. So then comes, then what to speak of those that are dedicated? How grateful Krishna is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Last question. Did you forget? No, Radha, you had something.
So for Christianity, Christianity
school? Are you just curious?
I hang out with my friends which are Christian. Huh? I hang out with my friends. Most of them are Christian.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
You know, do you get into discussions on these topics, or are you just curious?
Not really. Sometimes, because, yeah, there's this girls gathering that they have, and it's kind of fun, because I still have quite of experience with Christianity,
because
of my school.
So you're curious, that's it.
Yeah. So my question is that, is Christianity bad because of all these stuff?
The application is another story, but you know, the teachings are God's teachings. Not the full, you know, 100%, but God's teachings. That's what was delivered.
And just one more short question is about, is like a Damodar, something like the Damodar pastime in the Bible?
Is there something like a Damodar pastime in the Bible? No.
Yeah.
No. Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Jai.